We're going to play for you our first tune tonight. It's going to be about four tunes. And the first tune is called Olohun Ta Wa Se Yara Je Ka Bere. Now, which means, let's start what we have come into the room to do. Right on. Here goes.
One, two, three.
Welcome to It's Hot in Here, WCBN FM Ann Arbor. This is your Friday afternoon lunch talk show, news, views, and grooves, all on an environmental theme. And today is our very first summer broadcast. That's right, we're kicking off a summer season, and it's our first summer season of broadcasting on a regular basis from the studio right here on the campus of the University of Michigan. I'm Rebecca Hardin, holding it down for our team of student producers, and you can hear our signature start-out track in the background. That's Fela Kuti singing his song, Let's Start. An absolutely unabashed tune, talking about nothing short of taking off your clothes and getting on with the action between two people, completely dispensing with any artifice of seduction or any romance. Fela was always one for getting on with it, and of course here at WCBN-FM, we actually don't mind seduction. I was in here last night with Arwolf as he did his birthday show for Fats Waller, what would have been Fats Waller's birthday, and the warm lights were on in the studio, suffusing the place with a warm glow. It's a special place. Today, though, we're only just getting it hot in here. And, in fact, the weather outside is pretty cool. Still, we're starting our summer season, and we're starting it with that tune, as we always do about this time, with Fela Kuti. Now, on that track, actually, the drummer is Ginger Baker, a very talented drummer who was born in South London to a father who was a bricklayer and a mom who worked at a tobacco shop. Ginger actually lived in Nigeria for several years from 1970 to 1976 and sat in for Fela during recording sessions during that time. Some of you, on the other hand, may know Ginger Baker better as the drummer who founded the rock band Cream with Eric Clapton. And I think in deference to our summer season, we have a bunch of sunshine and summertime tunes lined up for you all today. And I'm going to try giving you a taste of that Cream song. You can hear Ginger doing something a little different from what he's doing with Fela Kuti. Let's listen to Sunshine of Your Love from Cream. And when we come back from that, our Hot in Here production team is going to revive some of the features that you all know and love from our show over time. That's right, we're going to give you a little what's in season, we're going to give you a little environmental news, and we're going to also do an on-the-radio segment that we're starting, which we'll let listeners write in with news, announcements, questions, and discussion topics they feel we should talk about on the air. So stay with us here on the FM dial, the left-hand side of your FM dial, 88.3. Don't go away. Here is a little reminder of Ginger Baker's range as a drummer, from Fela Kuti to Cream. Let's listen to Sunshine of Your Love.
It's getting near dawn. Close the tired eyes. I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dull surprise. I'll be with you, darling, soon. I'll be with you when the stars start falling. Sunshine of your love. I'm with you, my love. The light shining through on you. Yes, I'm with you, my love. It's the morning, just we two. I'll stay with you, darling.
skinny man died of a big disease with a little name. By chance his girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home there are 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun. Church and kill everyone inside. You turn on the telly and every other story is telling you somebody died. My sister killed a baby because she couldn't afford to feed it, and it was sending people to the moon. In September my cousin tried reefer for the very first time. Now he's doing horse. It's June.
Welcome back to It's Hot In Here. You're on the air with Rebecca Harden, and I actually have David Clive in the studio with me today. David, who is a student at the University of Michigan, who's working with me on looking at how to do our summer broadcasts, interfacing our old features from this show, including environmental news, what's in season, and news from our listeners. So we're going to be talking today about the environmental news, and David and I were just reviewing some of the headlines lately. David, welcome to the CBN studios. It's your first time.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
It's good to hear you. I should say that David has been working on some courses on campus in the program in the environment, where we're increasingly training students to not only learn about environmental issues, but also talk about them with non-expert audiences. So we've been experimenting with students designing content for the radio and broadcast themes. So David is working with us over the summer, getting a feel for the studio, getting a feel for the way public affairs shows work here, and also keeping it fresh, bringing in content and news. We're playing that Sign of the Times song, which, as many of you will recall, is off of Prince's album, Sign of the Times. It's a funny choice for us here at Hot In Here because, and David, I don't know whether you'll know this, but when we founded the show with students, we really wanted to do an environmental talk show that would not be so doom and gloom and so, like, heavy, right? That would capture some of the positive energy coming out of environmental problem solving. Of course, that Prince song is, like, totally doom and gloom, right? He's like, you know, talking about hurricanes and drug addiction and people not being able to feed their kids. But it's a great tune, and it has its own upbeat sound to it. So I thought we could use it just to segue into our environmental news segment. And I will say, on the environmental news this week, I've been hearing a lot about, a couple things. One is the impact of the oil spills on the California coast this week. That's been very much in the news, and there's been some nice reporting out of CNN and other mainstream media outlets just looking at what's happened with that and how the situation is evolving. I don't know if you've seen media about that, David. Have you caught anything or heard anything about it?
Not a whole lot, but
well, let me fill you in while we're talking about it, because it turns out that it's an underground pipeline, a 24-inch underground pipeline that was running down the Pacific coast, and somewhere near Santa Barbara, there was a problem with the pipeline, and initial estimates were running around 105,000 gallons of crude oil spilled out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, kind of a mess. You can imagine if you Google it, and I know you'll be working on our blogcast later, so you'll come up with quite a few video clips of predictably like penguins struggling in. I mean, the visuals on these spills are always just so gut-wrenching, right? Because there are all these mm-hmm. half-naked humans holding these tarred, smeared birds trying to open their beaks.
Yeah, talk about doom and gloom, right?
It's pretty. Well, yeah. I mean, on the one hand, it's doom and gloom. On the other hand, you always see these armies of volunteers turn out in these situations, right? Like, all these people show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always that silver lining, that just showing of humanity, really, when things like this happen.
Right, and actually what I think some scholars in Europe are starting to call ecological solidarity, which is like a cross-species solidarity about environmental damage. I think that stream of research is so interesting. And when I was in Europe back in February, there was a series of meetings to prepare for the conference on the parties of parties on climate change, which is happening in Paris in November. And lots of the speakers were talking about developing new ethical frameworks where we think of humans and other species as all being, you know, damaged by these events.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it sounds like a relatively new thing, because in the past, when things like this have happened, we sort of separate ourselves from the environment and we say, oh, that, you know, it affects the environment. But really, we're a part of it. And, you know, we've taken ourselves out of that with the amount of technology and things that we have. But
well, exactly. And then it's not even only the technology, but in the case of the Santa Barbara spill, apparently also the organizations or entities that mediate the technology, like this company, American Pipeline, which was responsible. I think they're called All American Pipeline, and they were responsible for actually overseeing the infrastructure here, apparently were pretty negligent, right? Like it turns out, as according to CNN's reports, that they are implicated in multiple violations between 2004 and 2007 that include or have been, you know, involved in spills in Texas, in Louisiana, in Oklahoma, in Kansas, and even like on I don't know how this happened, a city block in urban Los Angeles, which I'm trying to imagine like what that looked like, an oil spill in an urban Los Angeles neighborhood. But it sounds kind of cataclysmic. And I guess what's happening this week is they're all up in arms because this is actually not even Oklahoma or Kansas. This is like some kind of iconic, you know, very valuable beach real estate at
stake.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
So you said this company has been having problems since, what, 2004?
Well, apparently they were there were multiple violations by the company between 2004 and 2007, and they've been ranked as one of the top five kind of in terms of infractions in this industry. And so this is not, you know, this is, in other words, no matter how sweet we are to the Pelicans, we also sort of shouldn't be surprised that this is happening.
No.
Like, we're all ready to come out and clean off the Pelicans, but none of us appear to be like watching for these things, right? And identifying where there are actors involved who are likely to have this kind of screw up. And I have to say, the reporters on it, I was looking at some of the videos online earlier. Some of these CNN reporters are really in the, you know, they're really going for it with these CEOs and company representatives. One of them who revised some of his estimates for how much oil may be flowing from this spill from about 105,000 gallons to 500,000 gallons. And that was their, like, worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. They did say that only about 21,000 actually made it into the ocean. And the rest is sort of, I suppose, still, you know, between the pipeline and the coast. I don't really know what the final numbers are going to look like. And as we know from the BP, you know, Horizon spill, we may not know for a long, long time. And they may be contested for a long time afterwards. But I do think it's really interesting. And we have had our share of these issues here in Michigan, too, right? I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, with the increased fracking in Michigan, it's big earthquakes and perhaps even oil spills are becoming a problem.
Yeah, actually, we have had, I think, a bad oil spill in Kalamazoo in that watershed not a couple of years ago, which in turn prompted a lot of conflict about whether the companies involved had adequately carried out their cleanup mandate to, you know, to the degree that, that was stipulated. And so this is definitely, I mean, in Michigan in particular, and it's funny because I was talking to a colleague at University of Oregon just this week, and he was saying, you know, whenever I turn on the TV in Oregon, I see advertisements for Pure Michigan. He's like,
That's interesting. All the way out in Oregon.
All the way out in Oregon. I think we're spending some money on advertising for Pure Michigan, which means that these incidents here are especially damaging, right? You don't want to have Michigan's rivers and watersheds experiencing spills and getting contaminated if that's one of our kind of bulwark industries in the state, is the kind of clean leisure recreational space thing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I fish almost every day on the Huron here.
Nuh-uh, you do not.
I do.
You're kidding me. Yep. Where do you fish?
Do you know where the Kellogg Eye Center is?
I do.
It's right across from the hospital. Yeah, there's a park.
Island Park.
Yep.
That place is heaven. I love Island Park.
It's a great place. I can't imagine if it were filled with oil or, you know, an earthquake happened there and
no,
river
that's
was
right.
diverted or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of bird life over there, too.
Oftentimes, absolutely.
A whole lot of bird life in that area because of the little islands. I think they tend to be in there. And
there are a few new families of geese in the area that I've noticed this year.
That's good news. That's all good news. And I have to say that that particular spot in the Huron River is also one that has been pretty impacted by the development of the hospital, because and there was a really nice piece about parts of the Arboretum as well, which drain into the Huron not too far from there, and how the development of our U of M hospital has been impacting those areas and really degrading them. I think my colleague Bob Gracie, who is a landscape architect and scholar and practitioner, runs a lot of the management stuff that happens at the Arb and at the Matai Botanical Gardens, and he's been a really vocal proponent of restoration ecology for some of the areas that are being so negatively impacted right there where you fish. So heads up, you know?
Yeah.
But that's great. No, it's true. These things hit us where we live and they hit us where it hurts. And speaking of where we live, we would be remiss not to mention the question you brought up earlier about seismic instability, which we did have one of the biggest earthquakes on record in Michigan not a couple weeks ago in Portage. Did you read about that?
I did, yeah. I actually felt it here.
Nuh-uh.
I swear. I was in my room, and the house just started shaking, and all my roommates, we all came out of our rooms and said, "What was that?"
Oh, my goodness. Well, there was Prince, Sign of the Times, singing about a hurricane ripping a ceiling off a church and killing everybody inside. I mean, these natural disasters are very much on our minds. My own family in India, my husband's from India and has family in Nepal, and we work with a lot of students on research on forest management and environmental management over there. And the earthquakes in Kathmandu also in the past few weeks. It was like there was the big earthquake in Kathmandu, then there was the earthquake in Michigan, and then the follow-up tremors in Kathmandu, which have been very destructive and destabilizing. And so it really does feel like a moment when these kinds of seismic instabilities. And apparently the Portage earthquake wasn't about fracking. They say it wasn't related to that, but I don't know where we're
Interesting.
At.
Interesting.
That's what I read in the news coverage and the reports. But certainly it is clear that hydraulic fracturing for natural gas or fracking, and we have done a Hot in Here show on that in the past with Tom Lyon and quoting from studies here at U of M by Barry Rabe and other scholars, but that fracking can really correspond to seismic instability, to that kind of instability. In Pennsylvania, it's been the case, right?
Yeah, Oklahoma as well.
That's right.
Having major problems with earthquakes now.
Well, it's something that doesn't seem to bother people too much. I know that oil prices are low and staying low in part, perhaps, some will say, because the U.S. has these other alternatives for producing energy. I think it's really a really important question whether these are prices we are willing to pay for cheap energy. But maybe what we should do, because we are veering into doom and gloom here a little bit, so let's back up and remind ourselves that people are rebuilding beautifully in Kathmandu, and I know that my own family members there have been spending the last several weeks doing nothing but helping other residents of that city rebuild and find food and find water. So there, too, you see the kind of silver lining of these disaster events in which people reach out across social groups and figure out how to make things work again. And
things like this can be negative life-changing events. People die, obviously, lose family members, things like that, but they can be positive events, too, and people form new relationships and build new lives even after events like this.
That is so true. And as you say that, I'm thinking now we're into It's Hot in Here territory. And it is getting hot in here. And in fact, I have a new track on our playlist, which is called It's Getting Hot in Here. It's a song by a band that I once had on vinyl in my own home, and I remember the record was a blue sky background, and it was these three kids who looked like they couldn't be older than about 15. It was one of their early albums, these three kids out of Philadelphia who put together a jazz combo called Pieces of a Dream. So I'm going to play that for you, David, okay, and for our listeners, and we can hear a little bit of It's Getting Hot in Here, because it is, by Pieces of a Dream out of Philadelphia.
Thank you. Why don't you light up that cigarette? Take a puff. It'll make you look real cool.
I don't know. Maybe I should.
Jordan, no, it's bad for you. You might get cancer.
So, who are you going to listen to, the angel or the devil? Are you going to make a good choice or a bad choice?
This message goes out to all the people that smoke.
It's your choice. Think about it.
Welcome back to It's Hot in Here, your environmental lunchtime talk show about news, views, and grooves pertaining to the environment here in Michigan and abroad. This is WCBN-FM Ann Arbor, and I'm Rebecca Harden in the studio today with David Clive. And we have just finished hearing Pieces of a Dream. That's a band from the early and mid-2000s out of Philadelphia. A bunch of young kids, three young kids actually, a bassist was the lead who did fabulous funky music. And that particular tune was called It's Getting Hot in Here, which indeed it is. So we are moving into our summer broadcast. And our summer broadcast is something that we're making up as we go along, because we've never done a summer season before. So all of you listeners out there, I want you all to know that what we normally do on these hour-long broadcasts is take a lot of call-ins from a lot of you on the topics we're talking about, and we're often able to broadcast those phone calls and have conversations. That's not so easy, because we're broadcasting from the FM studio here, and we're actually we're going to need to have people email and write to us topics they'd like to hear about instead of calling in over the course of the summer. So we're going to get that set up here in the next week or two, and we really welcome your feedback on how that works for you. In the meantime, just to structure these summer broadcasts, since we're producing with our skeleton team, we have decided to revive some of the favorite features from the early history of this show. Some of you may remember Rachel Chatterton, who did a segment called What's in Season, along with Aviva Glazer and other Hot in Here alumni. They used to come in and just talk about what was around on the Ann Arbor farmers markets and what was around at different times of the year that would make it easier and tastier and more fun to just, you know, eat local and participate in the slow food movement by getting your food locally and preparing what was naturally available in the landscape around you. So every time they kicked off that feature, they would do it with a particular song. And it's a song that's a really lovely song. Takes us back to some of those early musical notes we hit when we opened the show today with Sunshine of Your Love, Cream, from the 1960s in the UK. This particular band is The Zombies, also a 60s rock band, and their tune, Time of the Season, is our cue for the What's in Season conversation. Let me give you that tune, and we'll come back and talk about what is in season in Ann Arbor and beyond as we start to hit our summer stride. Here are The Zombies, Time of the Season.
It's the time of the season. Love runs high in this time, give it to me easy, and let me try with pleasured hands
to take you in this time to
promised lands,
to show you
Who's your daddy?
Be rich.
Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time
to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why.
Thank you.
your daddy?
Who's your daddy? Here is.
Is he rich like me? Has he taken?
Has he taken
any time?
Any time to show?
To show you what you need to live.
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you.
Kristen here, host of Tight Pants. I know you treasure the memories these old songs bring back, and I know how much you enjoy listening to them while you work on the ambience. Friday from 3 to 5:30, and you'll hear hits just like these, from contemporary to yesteryear, guaranteed to ease you into a relaxing weekend. Don't miss Tight Pants, every Friday from 3 to 5:30, right here on WCBN-FM Ann Arbor.
I'm not Lisa. My name is Jean.
That was my plug for Kristen's show, Tight Pants, coming to you later this same afternoon on Fridays. Kick your weekend off with Tight Pants on WCBN-FM Ann Arbor. This is Rebecca Harden here in the studio with David Clive. And let's get back to what's in season for a minute. That was a great tune by the Zombies. And what is in season in Michigan right now? So I've just learned I'm sitting in studio with a fisherman. So that puts me in mind of gathering and hunting and finding your food in the landscapes around you. I know that yesterday I was at Silvio's Organic Pizza and he was like, Rebecca, I have morels. I have morels. And he had made this morel pasta that was just amazing. It was so delicious. And he was saying, actually, most of the morels are starting to be gone now. They kind of come in the spring around here.
Really? A short-lived season for them?
Pretty well, it depends year to year, right? It depends on what the temperatures and the humidity and the kind of what the winter's been like. But people who are into morel mushrooms, and they are so delicious, tend to have their spots.
Like,
there's definitely, like, people religiously maintain the spots where they know morels are going to grow in the spring. And I had a friend yesterday say, hey, you know, I was wondering about morels. Do you know any good spots? And my husband, like, dug his elbow into my rib and was like, don't tell her where we go. You know, people are really protective because they are really tasty.
Mm. Kind of like truffles.
Yeah, they are kind of like truffles in a way. And the only problem with morel mushrooms is that there are also other kinds of mushrooms that look like morels and aren't. So that gets tricky, as you can imagine.
Could be poisonous.
Well, yeah, seriously. And not as poisonous as like the Amanites, which, you know, can really do a number on you. Those are fall right. mushrooms that are white. But they are... But they can make you pretty sick, and depending on your system, right? I used to study over at the Matai Botanical Gardens. I took a mycology class over there, which I highly recommend to anybody who can get into it. Bob, the mycologist at the Matai Botanical Gardens, and Jocelyn, his wife, would take us on field expeditions in the fall and to identify mushrooms around here. And they were interested in everything, not just edibles, but it was an incredible... education for
that
me.
That does sound fun.
Oh, it was great. And you'd be amazed how much you can eat out of the forests, like, or the golf courses in town even.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
There's honey mushrooms, there's, you know, hen of the woods and sulfur shelf and all kinds of things, but maybe none as coveted as the springtime morels. So you got to know what you're doing with morels, but, you know, they're delicious. So look for those on restaurant menus. Look for them in stores where local mushrooms are sold. You might be able to catch just a few before they go. And I guess the other thing I've seen is fiddlehead ferns on the shelves of, like, the co-op and stuff. Have you ever eaten, like, the little tips of those ferns, Dave?
I think I have a few times. Do they taste like Brussels sprouts?
They kind of do. Something like between asparagus. Yeah, they are a little bitter. They're, like, between asparagus and a Brussels sprout. And I've had them in, like, Italian restaurants on the East Coast. You used to get Italian restaurants that would serve them with pasta, you know, tossed in olive oil kind of thing. Ooh. They're super tasty. And they've got to be good for you, right? I mean, there are these...
Sure. They're green.
They're green, and they're like this brand new life form that's barely unfurled. It's got to have a lot of power. That's my view. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. So, yeah. So, that's great. Listen, I want to just encourage our listeners to look for those yummy, non-traditional foraged foods that might be out there in your farmer's market or your food store or on your restaurant menus. Enjoy spring on your palate, on your plate. And I want to also make sure that we take a little time right now for this new feature we want to roll out, which is called On the Radio. And that is a feature that I'm going to kick off with a tune from Donna Summer called On the Radio. And it's a time when we get write-ins from our listeners and our community about things they want us to announce or explain or address. So let me give you a little Donna Summer on the radio, and we'll come back with a few relevant announcements about what's going on in environmental issues in our town this week. Here's Donna Summer.
It must have
Rebecca Harden here over that indie Spanish band Hola Todo El Mundo. It's a group that's playing a tune called They Won't Let Me Grow, which I thought was a great anthem, David, for our On the Radio segment, because what's on the radio today coming from our listeners that I wanted to let everybody know about is an upcoming conference on food sovereignty. And the title of that conference is Food Sovereignty, Local Struggles, Global Movements.
I like that title.
I love that title. It really tells you kind of what they're doing here, which is keeping it grounded in Detroit, in the local region, and also with a lot of scholars, it seems to me, from Mexico and some of our neighboring regions, talking about local food production, mm-hmm. but also how growing global awareness on these issues is changing how people think about food supply chains. And so I want to give a shout out to my colleagues, my fabulous colleagues, Yvette Perfecto and John Vandermeer, who have brought this conference together along with a whole bunch of fabulous students and former students and activists locally. Dorcita Taylor, also very much a part of building food studies here on the campus of the University of Michigan, along with Jennifer Blesch. And these colleagues of mine, all of whom are coming at food studies from different perspectives in different parts of the world, have come together. So this meeting is going to happen May 28th and 29th. And the reason we're featuring it on the radio and in our On the Radio feature, thank you, Donna Summer, is because the registration for this conference is closing today at 5 o'clock. So if you want to get yourself into the conversations that are going to be happening, you got to do that. We're going to tell you how. You got to go to a website. It's www.umfoodsovereignty.com, and it's the registration page. So it's /registration.html, and you can do that all day today until about tight pants time. Until about 5 o'clock, and you can get yourself in. But I don't know, like, David, I think it looks like a great meeting of minds, but have you seen these posters? Have you seen anything about this conference? Like, what's going to be happening? Do you have a sense?
Like you said, John Vandermeer is going to be there. He's from the University of Michigan. Philip McMichael from Cornell. We got Hannah Whitman from the University of British Columbia.
Oh, wow.
A lot of big names.
Fantastic. I saw also that each day is kind of set up as a series of presentations. There's like a plenary forum often in the morning, and then there are different specific seminars on, you know, like the global movements or the very local struggles. And then in the afternoons, they have public discussions, right? Like open public discussions. And so you have people like Eric Holt Jimenez, who's a Food First executive director, and Monica White, assistant professor of environmental justice from the National Institute for Environmental Studies, the Nelson Institute, I'm sorry. And those people are going to foster these bigger conversations. So the meeting is kind of a mix, actually, of content for people who go, and then also conversations across these different contexts where people are working on this stuff. So it sounds like they've put together smart, lots of mixing time, lots of interaction time, and then also a lot you can learn about what the edge is on these integrations of local stuff. I think Wednesday, too, did you see that? Wednesday they have like a special forum that's about Detroit, partly, right? I mean,
yep, it's called Connecting the Movements, Food Sovereignty in Detroit and the Global South.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's just perfect. Well, I have to say that, to my mind, these are the people that are, you know, way ahead of the curve in terms of making food studies into an actual scholarly kind of stream and a discipline almost in and of itself that brings together lots of different ways of studying and thinking about these questions. And so I would recommend to our listeners that you really to check it out online. Take a look at the proposed programs. Take a look at the registration. Again, that's www.umfoodsovereignty.com. And you can go to the registration page before 5 o'clock today. Don't forget. And now, in honor of our upcoming summertime, I want to just set up this cheesy tune out of my past as a teenager. It's DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Yes, I'm sorry, but they're doing summertime, and I think it's just worth, you know, a moment to think about the fact that we're out of class.
Yeah. Here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme. And put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around and see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad I compose this rhyme to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Yet hustle to the mall to get me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia.
Nostalgia indeed. Thank you to our listeners today for another fabulous show of It's Hot in Here. Baron with us as we master the FM studio routine here at WCBN-FM Ann Arbor. And I want to make sure that you all get ready for the fabulous radio coming up from Brian Tucker. I just want to thank you again for being with us. We'll see you next Friday at 12. Y'all enjoy this summer.
Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through, 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.